Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. We're re-airing one of our old favorites from a past episode today. We'll be back tomorrow with all new material. Until then, enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. Just a few hundred yards from where I sit in the Vermont Public Radio station in Colchester is the Vermont Islamic Society. It is there where, just a few years ago, four young women became friends. As we were covering news and holding membership drives, these four girls bonded and at some point became known as Muslim Girls Making Change. They're a slam poetry team, but they're a lot more than that. And they're our guests today on Vermont Edition. They're all here with us, and I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Walkisa.
My name is Karen.
My name is Lena.
And I'm Hawa.
And we're Muslim Girls Making Change.
M-G-M-C.
That was somewhat spontaneous, somewhat practiced.
All right.
Always practiced. Yeah.
So I mentioned a little bit about how you met. So, Balkisa, tell us a little more.
Well, we all attend the same Sunday school, and we see each other all the time through there. And then there's also we all attend other events that happen at the mosque. And so that's how we really got to know each other a whole lot. Now they're not even friends anymore. They're considered family to me.
Wow.
Yes.
And Kieran, was it an immediate bond between the four of you?
It's kind of like messy because Lena and I were family friends. I met Hawa in sixth grade and we knew each other, and then Hawa introduced Balkisa to us when she used to go to Burlington. They were friends. So I mean, it kind of was because there aren't very many Muslims around, so we could talk about these things that no one else could, and we had it's kind of like inside jokes all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Lena, yeah, why these three others? Why the four of you?
I don't know. I guess we had this kind of connection between all of us. I mean, we all related through the same problem. We're all, like, going through the same problems, I guess. Or we're going through, like, we have, like, a lot of inside jokes that, like, connect us. And I don't know. It was just a click, you know? Whenever we talk with each other,
There's no lulling conversation.
Right, yeah, we're so comfortable with each other. It's all laughs and love and everything's great.
But Hawa, two of you go to Burlington. Two of you go to South Burlington High School. So... Rivalries, high school rivalries?
All the time, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
SB is sure. Better. Come on. Come on.
Burlington? No, I used to go to South Burlington, so I do know their school pretty well, and now I go to Burlington. So there's a little tension sometimes, but it's all fun and games.
But what matters is that she represents Burlington High School now.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. All right.
All right. And so how did that friendship among you four become Muslim Girls Making Change, Balkisa?
Well, so we had, like, this youth group formed because we were, like, we're teenagers now, and it's that time where we need each other's support. And so we created that group not just to support each other but also to, like, challenge stereotypes about Muslims and, like, just who we are. And so that happened, and then we all fell in love through poetry, and then that's how Muslim Girls Making Change established.
Okay, so poetry. Kieran.
Yes.
Why and how is poetry the medium that became the way you amplify the message that you have for people?
I mean, I just think that, like, with poetry, like, especially slam poetry, there aren't, like, these specific rules. You can do so much with it. And, like, I've seen such great poems where, like, they use their bodies in certain ways, or their, like, the tone of their voice and all these different emotions. And, like, I've always been taught that, like, actions speak louder than words. But if you don't, you know, these words that have such power, and like if you, it educates people and, like, can move people to, like, certain emotions and feelings, and it really gets you, like, to connect with different people.
Mm-hmm. And Lena, explain, because there's one thing, I mean, people know poetry, mm-hmm. but what is slam poetry? How is that different?
Well, slam poetry is different because you get to express yourself through your words, and you get to work and play around with different words to just get it right. And, you know, you have these awesome coaches that help you out throughout your journey, throughout this whole poetry idea. And it's great because you get to express yourself in a way, and it's just a great experience overall.
Okay, so you've got four people trying to write together.
Well,
Kieran, what is the writing process like?
I mean, we do separate pieces by ourselves, and we also do ones, like, where three of us will write one, three of us write another one. But it can be very chaotic because since we are such good friends, we get off topic very, very easily. So it will take us once we like settle down and we actually get into the poetry, it flows because we have all these awesome ideas that come from different people that you would never even thought about yourself. So it just kind of all works together somehow.
Had you been writing poetry on your own before this?
No.
Any of you?
Yeah, we have.
The other three.
Bokisa and I have been doing a lot of poetry together.
And so, Lena, like, who has to kind of run things when there's arguments or, you know, disagreements on a word, a topic? Who takes charge here?
I guess it's kind of all of us at the same time.
Just kind of argue.
But like sometimes one of us would be like, hey, let's do this. Like everyone quiet down. We got to get started. Mostly Hawa takes charge. She is really good with poetry. But it's usually all of us. And we have to get stuff done. Usually we're like, hey, yo, we got to get stuff done. We have to get, you know, we got to do this. So it's like, it's all of us, you know.
So it's a very democratic process, Hawa?
Right.
Or do you just become the dictator at some point?
No, I'm never really quite that.
All right, so let's talk about poetry in 2016 for sophomores in high school. Is it relevant at all? There are other forms of media and entertainment that people can turn to. Does anybody care about poetry in your age group?
I mean, from
other
what
than the four of you.
Right. From what I've seen a lot of youth participating in poetry, but I've also seen not as many. You know, poetry is something that, you know, all four of us love, and this is a way of expressing ourselves and voicing in our, you know, our words that we've wanted to say. And I mean, this is something we love, and it's, I know, I mean, I know for our age, we're not really into this kind of stuff. You know, we're all about, like, social media and, you know, just chilling, watching
Netflix.
That's
the perception.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see people like us getting in through poetry, people are like, you know, it's kind of interesting. I want to get into that. And it's kind of a way of, like, portraying our message of saying not only, like, with our problems we face through the, like, you know, through media with Muslims, but it's also portraying the way, like, people should get involved with poetry because it's something that really we really connect with. And it's something great.
And I feel like a lot of time, when people say, like, if you say the word poetry to, like, a 10th grader, most of the time, like, they're so used to, like, having, like, oh, that's, like, old stuff. I don't even understand what they're saying. Like, it's all over my head.
Shakespeare.
Like, yeah. But then, like, when they see, like, we share a bunch of our videos on Facebook and, like, or if we, like, just, like, perform in front of people, they say, oh, I get that. That's in simple words. I can, like, that's, like, that's language I use. I understand what they're saying. I feel like that's important. And so if they, like, if someone sees what we're doing and, like, hears it, and like hear slam poetry, then they're like, okay, yeah, I like this.
Well, Karen, you've set us up perfectly for your performance.
Oh, no.
Is that you, Lena?
No, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll be quiet.
All right. September 11, 2001.
Wake up, America. The enemy is here.
The terrorists.
Jihadists.
Arabs.
The womanizers.
Monsters.
Bin Ladens.
The ones to watch out for.
Surveil.
To remove.
To attack.
But actually, we're the advocates.
The award winners.
The bilinguals.
Hello.
Hola.
Bonjour.
Guten Tag.
Assalamu alaikum.
We're the 4.0 students.
Honor roll students.
The star athletes.
But we're also the misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
The ones to watch out for.
To watch out for.
To surveil.
Surveil.
To remove.
To attack.
It was my first day of 10th grade. My first day with a hijab in public. This hijab that had the power to turn me from Kiram Walkar, typical teen, to Kiram Walkar, ambassador for all 1.6 billion Muslims.
March 21st, 2003.
Fireworks were thrown into a Palestinian's family van.
Flames burned brighter than the rocket's red glare.
America, what are you celebrating? April 6, 2004.
A woman's hijab ripped off and she was verbally assaulted.
But she's dangerous, right? She deserves this.
Right?
Wait. But it's her body.
Right.
A woman should be able to do what they want.
Right. So if you can show, why can't we conceal? August 6, 2007.
A chemical bomb is thrown at a mosque in Glendale, Arizona.
The bomb almost hit two Muslim Americans.
Imagine what could have happened.
Two mothers could have lost their sons. Two men
could have lost their lives.
But wait.
America, you don't care about our protection because you're trying to protect yourselves from us.
From me. I was on my way home from school and you decided to cross to the other side of the street. Was the surface I walked on too hot for you to come near? Did you know that your looks flamed the fire of insecurities within me?
August 24th, 2010.
A taxi driver picks up Michael Enright, his first passenger of the day.
He thinks it'll be an average ride until he uttered the word Muslim.
Michael Enright slashes the taxi driver's face. Not once. Not twice. What a price to pay for the freedom of your rights. What happened to our freedom of religion? Promise to you. And you. And you.
And me? What about me? It's the first day of school. I'm the only Muslim girl wearing the hijab. I can feel everyone's eyes razor sharp, their lips forming questions. Who knew curiosity could cut so deep? I just wanted to curl up in a corner.
February 10, 2010.
Imagine you're a Muslim, going to your house of prayer and seeing the words, Muslim, go home, dripping in red paint on the white walls.
Go home, they said, go home where?
The hospital I was born?
The city that I was raised?
We're not just Muslims.
We're American Muslims,
equal in every way.
I heard the words roll off his tongue, you Muslims are the reason why the airport lines are so long, you bombers. He was drunk, but a drunk mind speaks a sober heart.
These are the things we see, hear, and experience daily.
And now you know of these
hidden crimes,
unheard voices,
terror on Muslims,
restless souls,
guns and bullet holes.
Wake up, America. The enemy has always been here.
Belkisa, that's called Wake Up America, is that correct?
Yeah, that's called Wake Up America.
All right. So how did that get written? How did it start and get put together? Because that is stunning. Who wants to answer?
I mean, it's kind of like we've seen this. All of us have seen all of these crimes. Well, we haven't really heard of them. Many people haven't heard of these crimes.
Including us. Like, we didn't even know about all of these.
So that's why these are hidden crimes. And we found, like, we found out we need to voice out these crimes and that they should not be hidden. Because the Muslim community is kind of impacted by these hidden crimes because not many people know of these, of what's going on. And through this poem, we tried to portray what was going on.
And like the dates we said were actual events that nobody is aware of. Like all the dates we were listing are things that happened.
And we tried to incorporate like our own experiences within that as well.
Now this would have been powerful written on the page, but you decided to perform it, and it seems like it comes to life for people. So, Kieran, why that decision that this has to be performed, not just written?
I mean, I feel like you can do so much more with like, your body and your voice than just like words on a page, because words on a page are just still words on a page. When you see an actual human being like breathing and like performing this piece, it like humanizes it. You're like, wait, this isn't just like a story or like something that might happen. It's actually happening, and these are people who can actually say this is happening.
Hawa, when this is performed, I'm sorry, live, what is the reaction you get from people? What have people said to you after they watch and hear this?
A lot of compliments. They're always like, that was great. You know, a lot of people mentioned that, you know, they relate to it, and like a lot Muslims and non-Muslims alike, you know, they've been through certain struggles like these, and, you know, so a lot of people can really relate and make connections with it. And it's just been so amazing because, like, everybody's, like, been so supportive about it. Mm-hmm. And they've been, like, complimenting us and just saying how great of a job we're doing that we should keep going with it.
Go ahead, Lena.
Yeah, and I was going to say also, we've never received any backlash, and we weren't really surprised with that because knowing that we live in a state in Vermont, we know that we're very comfortable here voicing out our opinions, mm-hmm. and that we've not received any backlash, and it's been great so far.
Let me ask you this more personally, because I'd like to think Vermont is the perfect place where everyone is treated properly. Right. And it's easy for me. I'm a short, fat, bald guy, Harry Potter glasses. I mean, I fit in. I no one sees me. But the four of you, female, darker skin, you're wearing the hijab, you get noticed immediately wherever you are in Vermont,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how are you treated here, Belkisa? And you can all answer this.
Okay.
Happily, I can say I've never, one-on-one, somebody's never come up to me or told me, oh, like all these stereotypes. Yeah, it happened, but they did it, but it wasn't like said to me, you know? And I've been here most of my life, and so I'm really comfortable with it.
Where were you born?
I was born in Kenya, but I came here when I was 2 years old.
Kieran?
I feel like Vermont's like pretty good, because I mean, I feel more people are like willing to listen and question you and like ask questions, which I definitely encourage, because information is never bad. And I feel like it's more of like those microaggressions where people like give you the weird stares and think you'd be like, oh, that's another person, which creates a divide, which is like problematic. But it's not direct. It's there, but it's not as bad as you would think it is.
Lena. Yeah, yeah. Also knowing that, you know, we are the minority here in Vermont. And I mean, it's kind of it like we are the minority, but it doesn't feel like it because I feel like we've connect with a lot of people here in Vermont and everyone's very supportive and they ask us a lot of questions. But it's nothing too like, oh, like, you know, too like harsh. It's something that like, oh, like, oh, why do you wear the hijab or something like this? And it's something because they're curious. It's not like they're trying to be ignorant. So in a way, it's great. And, you know, Vermont's a great place to live here because I've never seen, you know, as they've said, experienced this like firsthand. But we know it's there. Like, as we've said in the poem, we've experienced it maybe once or twice in our lives that we've lived in Vermont, but not as much as we.
Hawa?
Yeah, so most of the poem is about, like, other people experiencing it because we don't necessarily, like, it's not, like, a big deal. We don't, like, really see a lot of, like, things happening to us here besides what they mentioned, you know, like, little small microaggressions that, like, don't really, well, in our eyes maybe mean something, like, because mm-hmm.
Well, the one line in the poem about someone crossing the street,
yeah.
Again, yeah. Right, that isn't overt, but you feel it, right?
Yeah, we still feel it. Yeah. We're still human.
Like, I feel like it's just like when you make a when you have these microaggressions and when people like start to think of you as like another person, it makes us so much more it makes us so much easier to do horrible things to them because they aren't human. They aren't you. So this like divide that's the thing I feel like Vermont should work on. But I think it's way better than some other places.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we are in the middle of presidential campaign. There's a lot of political rhetoric being tossed around this campaign. So, Lena, you know, how do you feel when you hear some of the things that are said by people who want to become president
She's
of the United
stop
States
talking
of America?
Now.
No,
I picked the right person. Yeah.
Well, honestly, seeing these arguments that's going on, and knowing that we're part of these, like, we're not part of it, but we're talked about in these arguments. Knowing that it's kind of sad to see this. You know, it's sad to see that they're arguing about pointless things that should not be a big problem. That this should not be like, oh, Muslims should be banned or whatever. You know, whatever they've been going on about. But this is not something that should affect us because we don't really want to go on and focus on the negative views of these politicians. We want to focus on our voices as what we're doing through in poetry. And it's not really much, you know, focusing on the negative. It's like we're kind of getting onto their level. I mean, yeah, we should like understand that this is a problem, but fighting back against it is a better way through poetry in a more peaceful way. And
almost glad like we have this going on actually, right. Because it gives us this chance.
Exactly.
You know, we wouldn't be able to express our writing, our voices, if this wasn't happening. You know, we'd just be like, oh, everything's fine, you know, nothing's going on in the world, you know, we're fine.
But like with this, we have a reason.
Right, yeah, so we have a reason to get other people's voices as well as ours into the media as well as like just...
So something so subtle, so artistic as poetry is, Balkisa, your way of pushing back?
Yeah, definitely. And also, like Karen was saying earlier, like when we're standing right in front of them, like not only do we help them like understand it, but they also feel it through our facial expressions, our body movements, and such as.
Now, I'd like to think that this is all you've done and it's pretty fabulous. But Muslim Girls Making Change actually have gotten involved in several other things. So let's start with Kieran. I think you and Lena have worked on something together.
Yeah, as a group, we've done like tons of volunteer projects like Ronald McDonald House, Vermont Refugee Resettlement Program. But Lena and I, along with Ali Barrett and Dina El-Safar and our wonderful mentor, Nancy Varmay, like we would be lost without her. But we did a blanket drive for blanket and winter clothing drive for Syrian refugees displaced within Syria.
And why did you do this? How was it received?
It was received like, amazingly. People in Vermont are like, so willing to give up, like they step up and just like they make a change. And I think that we did it just to raise awareness about it because when you see like your donations going to like actual people or you think about them as actual people, not statistics, it can make a giant difference.
Yeah, and to see that, like, we have so much and they have very little, it's something, like, we want to give back, you know, because we've had so much. We want to help others who don't really have as much, you know, seen through Syrian refugees, which is why we took on this project and, you know, to help out. And this is one of many problems we have here in the world. I mean, this is one we wanted to take on. And
she actually wrote a poem about that, too.
Yeah.
Can you recite it?
No, I don't know. It's not okay. Really fun. Honestly.
Okay. No problem.
But we'd also like to thank, sorry, just thank BPR because that's actually the reason like it got big. So thank you guys. Yeah. Though.
We did an interview here, like, I think in February.
Yeah.
And that's what got, like, the Peter Shumlin. That got his attention. And, like,
so you know, guys have a good giant part of this.
Yeah.
No, it's you.
No.
Hawa and Balkisa, I think you've worked on a project together as well. Am I correct about this?
Yeah. Before
Tell me about it, Hawa.
Yeah. So before we started the poetry group with us four, Balkisa and I were doing a separate thing at school, and we're part of START at School, stands for Students Taking Actions and Risks Together. It's a drug, alcohol, prescription, drug prevention program. And we've been constantly going back to city council meetings, trying to convince them that there should be a smoking ban placed in Burlington Parks and Beaches areas. And so with that, you know, regularly we just write like a speech whenever we went there. One time I just decided, you know, we should really write a poem. And I was like, I started it off, and then Balkisa and I just finished it together, and I was like, okay, you gotta perform this with me. Then we went there, we read it to them, and they were very moved by it, and we kept going back and reading it to them to inspire them and to get them to, like, push it forward.
We also submitted it to a poetry and essay contest, and we won it, and we were invited to read on the steps of the State House, which is really exciting.
This is so great. Okay, so I'm gonna go right through the line. We still have a few more minutes. What poets, artists, musicians, authors, do you look up to and emulate? Can I start with you, Balkisa?
There's a lot, but Bono Muhammad definitely inspired me.
Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Because just the way he says it, and, like, I can relate to all his poetry really well.
Mm-hmm. Kieran?
I can't even choose them. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, everyone I've seen, like, perform in BNV, like, on those, like, videos on YouTube, like, those girls, like, all the girls and guys, like, everyone there, just, like, all the, like, the teens, like, were, like, willing to, like, get their voice out there. It's kind of scary. So everyone's just anyone.
I can't wait for Lena's answer because she is twisting in her chair.
Yeah. I can't think of anything. Okay, does it have to be a writer or anything?
It does not. No.
Okay, I guess
it could be me. If you want to say that it's me, you can say that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a boxer. Muhammad Ali.
Oh,
you know him. I kind of really look up to his words and his wisdom and his strength, especially the way he fights through these, you know, especially because he's Muslim and he fights through this stereotypical ideas, and he can fight through these, not only, like, using fists and stuff, you know, it's boxing, but, like, through his words especially. I look up to his, like, wisdom and his way of, like, going throughout life.
And you got to remember, so I grew up as knowing him at first as Cassius Clay,
yeah,
and then he became a Muslim, right. And that was very difficult, mm-hmm, in the 1960s for, yeah, someone to change their name, right, who was a popular figure. It was pretty incredible. Yeah. And Hawa, how about you?
I don't have a specific person in mind right now. I think just anybody, like Kieran said, anybody I listen to, really. I mean, I would say, like, the BNV youths, but I don't know. There's this poem called Speaking Broken English, or Three Ways to Speak English, and the writer that wrote that was very inspiring to me.
All right. Well, talk about inspiring. I've been speaking with Lena Ghanawi, Kieran Wakar, Balkisa Abdikadir, and Hawa Adam. They are the Muslim Girls Making Change. And if you want to learn more about them, we have a link on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. MGMC, thank you so much for joining us here on Vermont Edition.